Second hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Again, we are shortened today. Canadian Thanksgiving, Preds starting a week-long Canadian road trip. 4 games in 6 days starting this afternoon against the Ottawa Senators. We'll talk some Preds in this final hour as they got 3 out of 4 possible points in their first 2 games at home to start the season. Again, taking on the Senators in the first of a back-to-back today. 12 o'clock puck drop, 11 a.m. pregame coming up right after us here on 102.5 The Game. Back into the Titans here, though. Brian Callahan, when he was 0-4, I was a little bit surprised that he was not let go after the Texans game. You know, that if there's one thing that the Adams family hates the most, it is losing to the Houston Texans. And they didn't only lose, they lost 26-0. So I was a little bit surprised that they kept him around. But he goes out, and as much as the Cardinals gave it to him, you can't fire a coach after a win, especially with how few there have been. They win the game, scored 16 in the fourth quarter with the 3 crazy turnovers, and they get the win. And again, we led the show with this, Parker, that the question we asked all week last week was it a fluke, or was it the start of the ascent for this team of showing some progress? And we got our answer on yesterday in Las Vegas. It was horrible from the Titans, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And I think Brian Callahan is right back where he was before the Arizona win, if not even hotter of a seat.
Yeah, and even after the Cardinals game, I didn't feel much different because the Cardinals basically tried to hand the team the game and the Titans capitalized on it, but it was one good quarter of football. And after this, it even solidifies my opinion further that he should be let go sooner rather than later.
Yeah, with Callahan, my long-term view of him didn't change after the Cardinals, but at least you could see, you're like, all right, they won a game, they showed some good stuff. Let's see what he does with it next week. And, you know, it looked even worse than before the win. So, yeah, it's a when, not an if at this point. And I'm half joking here when I say this, but would it make sense to fire him this week before New England? Don't give Vrabel the satisfaction of blowing out his successor, because that's what it's going to be on Sunday. I have never been more confident in a result of an NFL football game than I am for this Sunday when the Patriots come to town. There's going to be mostly New England fans in that stadium, and Vrabel is going to try and run up the score. Like, if you don't think Mike Vrabel is going to go try and win that game by 40, you don't know Mike Vrabel. He is going to try and run up the score. And I just wonder if Amy, can you just be like, yeah, let's just pull the plug now and don't give Vrabel the satisfaction of beating his successor. And who knows, maybe you get the interim coach bump and you only lose by 20 instead of 35 to this team if you do let him go.
Well, even if Callahan is fired, I don't see much changing for Vrabel because he wants to beat this team into the ground.
Right. No, I mean, it's going to be the same either way. Like, I I'd love for them to prove me wrong and show some fight. As Robbie said at the end of Robbie and Rex Road this morning, do you have any pride? Like, I'd love to see some fight from this team. I don't really see it. I think Vrabel's going to beat them down this weekend. I'm half joking saying that they should fire him just to avoid the embarrassment of that, but, you know, I don't think they're going to do it. Lenny says you got to get rid of Brinker also, and that is going to be the big question of the offseason.
Yes.
Like, I think we're to the point where Callahan being let go is almost a near certainty. It is a near certainty. The question about Brinker is the big one for the offseason of, do they hold him accountable too, or is he just, you know, does he have Amy's ear and he's going to be the one running the show from here on out? That is going to be the big question. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's get to your phones. Rich is on the line wanting to talk Titans. Rich, thanks for calling. Good morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello, guys. Hey, I'm a PFL owner for 25 years. Hey, I just think, you know, these past couple of drafts, I think we drafted the wrong quarterbacks. Cam's like his, I don't know, something with his mechanics, it looks off. I just, you know, just a gut feel. And with the Patriots coming in, they're not going to beat the Patriots. You know, I look at the schedule. I don't see them winning another game. And the game against the Cardinals, it was a fluke to actually win that game. And I just want to see what you thought about that, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks for the call, Rich. With the quarterback thing, again, like let's give the young quarterback some time. I do agree that part of the reason this team is as bad as it is, and it's not the whole reason. The biggest reason is you've picked the wrong players, right? Like John Robinson's last three drafts were horrible. Even the 2023 draft hasn't looked that great. So it has not worked out picking the players. But part of that is wasting picks on quarterbacks. And I would love to have the three other players that you could have gotten instead of Malik Willis, Will Levis, and the third round pick you traded to go get Will Levis, right? And hindsight's 20/20. If one of those guys turns out to be your franchise quarterback, then it was worth whatever you gave up to go get them. But you're right that, you know, you've now spent top 100 picks on three.
Sorry, I was okay. Doing something back here. I realized that you stopped talking. I'm like, oh no. I was editing something back here.
Yeah, sometimes the buttons get pressed. It's all good.
Yeah.
I'd love to. You spent three top 100 prospects on quarterbacks in the last four drafts. Like, I'd love to have those extra picks. So.
Yeah, no. And that's really, if you're looking for blame pie, it's the same thing in college. Like, if you bring in bad recruiting classes and you continue to stack bad recruiting classes on bad recruiting classes, eventually it's going to catch up to you no matter how good the coaching staff is. In this case, the coaching staff isn't good and the talent isn't there on the roster. We would like to believe that Borgonzi has hit, or whoever was drafting, has hit on the rookies. The early returns are that he did, but it's not enough. And you need more of those players. And that hasn't been the case.
I got to say, no one loves Femi Oladejo more than Jonathan Vilma. Did you listen to him talking about Femi yesterday? That was funny.
Yeah.
It's like, you've been really impressed with Femi Oladejo, haven't you, Jonathan? He's like, oh yeah, this guy's a player right here. And then when Femi got hurt, Jonathan Vilma's like, oh, this is a massive loss for this team. I'm like, do they think Femi is Myles Garrett somehow? Like, I don't understand. Jonathan Vilma might be the only guy out there who has been significantly impressed with Femi. See, I thought Femi did play better yesterday. He had a couple of nice tackles for loss. One of them was 5 yards in the backfield. So, like, there's been some good with Femi, but it was just funny to hear Jonathan Vilma talking about Femi Oladejo like the Titans just drafted Javon Kurse reincarnated. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, and then he did have the one really good play, the tackle for loss, like early on in the game, and you're like, yes, finally, like that's what you want to see out of a second round pick, and you're kind of hoping that it's come together, but he still has a long ways to go before he wants to be even a remotely good outside backer / edge rusher in the league.
Let's go back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey is on the line, and Trey, I'm sure, has plenty of thoughts on Cam Ward's performance yesterday. Thanks for calling. What you got for us, Trey?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing great.
Hey, I wanted to put on the record, I can't watch it. I just can't watch it. I haven't watched the Titan game in about 3 years. I normally listen to it on the radio because with my former job, I used to be able to listen to, so I listen on the radio. But what I get from Cam Ward is that he just don't have the fundamentals. You know, he doesn't have the field awareness. You know, he doesn't know how to, you know, get away from, you know, sack coverage. And I don't think it's going to get better. I think it's actually probably going to get worse. And, you know, it's coming to the point to where, you know, it's like, everybody say, give him some time, you know, give him some time, give him some time. But these are fundamentals that he should already know. And, you know, I've been saying this since July that we picked the wrong man for the job. You know, it's kind of like him being an imposter, really, because you can only fake it for so long before your true attributes come out in you, you know. And I don't think he has it. I hope he has it. I hope he gets it. But right now, I don't think he has it, guys. And I love y'all, and I thank y'all for letting me take the time out to express myself. every day. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Trey. You actually, I think, have more people that agree with you than usual on that take. I'm going to stick with giving the quarterback time because, again, it's been six games. And has it gotten worse since week one? Maybe. Yeah. But I think you got to point at the coaching staff right now. Let's see what he can be when he has a competent coaching staff and better pieces around him. This is not a one-year fix where Cam Ward is supposed to come in and be Jaden Daniels or C.J. Stroud. Like, they raised the expectations way too high with those rookie years of the last two seasons. Like, it's not always going to be just instant microwave success for these young quarterbacks. You have to build around him. This Titans franchise, they have tied their wagon to Cam Ward. So I promise you, he's getting next year, and unless it's really awful, he's probably getting three. Like, and you got to give him a coaching staff. You got to give him some weapons. I agree it hasn't been good enough, but it's way too early to be jumping ship because guess what? The Titans have no other choice but to stick with Cam Ward for at least the next two seasons.
And that is often the worst-case scenario for a lot of these rookie quarterbacks is what Jaden Daniels was able to do, what C.J. Stroud was able to do in year one. If you think about Peyton Manning, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, set a league record that still stands to this day for most interceptions thrown in a season. So, and he look at the career he went on to have. And not saying that Cam Ward is going to have that same success, but it's not always apples to apples in terms of rookie quarterback play.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can get your texts or calls in. I did want to touch on Jeffrey Simmons and the comments that he made post-game. Cam Ward also had some interesting comments post-game. We'll get into that coming up next. We'll talk some Preds towards the end of the show as, again, the Predators are getting ready to take the ice in Ottawa to start off their four-game Canadian road trip. Pre-game coverage coming up in about 45 minutes with puck drop at noon. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. That was Jeffrey Simmons after the game yesterday. Said that they were flat at practice on Thursday, said it was maybe the worst week of practice that they've had, and makes sense based on the results we saw on the field in Las Vegas yesterday. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Again, a shortened show today. We're taking you up to the top of the hour when Preds pregame will take over. Predators are taking on the Ottawa Senators to start off a four-game Canadian road trip over the next 6 days. And we will talk some Predators towards the end of the show. But the Titans, I think you saw the team start to turn on the coaching yesterday a little bit. And it wasn't outward, but Jeffrey Simmons saying how bad practice was. Cam Ward goes, he's not lying. And Cam Ward was asked about communication, and he says the player-to-player communication is great. Which would make you think that the coach-to-player communication is not great or the coach-to-coach communication is not good. And, you know, Cam Ward has not been shy about defending Brian Callahan and saying that he wants stability and wants to make Brian Callahan one of the best coaches in the league. But at this point, there's just not a whole lot of hope that he's ever, like, I talk about small sample size for Cam Ward and it only being six games and you can't judge him based on that completely. Like, it's been 23 games for Brian Callahan. You know what he's going to be. And even the four wins that he has, like, if you go through those four wins, there's really only one that you could tout as impressive, right? Like, the Dolphins win on Monday night was with Tyler Huntley starting at quarterback. And I believe Tyreek Hill got hurt midway through that game, too.
They had a lot of injuries.
The Patriots game, that was at home against a horrible Patriots team last year, and you won in overtime because Drake May threw a couple of interceptions. Then the Texans game last year, I could call that one impressive. That one surprised me. They put up points in that game. Sure, we'll call that one impressive. But the Cardinals game, you were down by 15 points and needed miracles to get back into it. So really, out of his 23 games, there's only one you could look at and be like, yeah, that looked good. And they won the game. And it has to be over sooner rather than later. And this weekend, with Vrabel coming in, I saw somebody put out there that if Mike Vrabel wins this game on Sunday at Nissan Stadium, he will have the same amount of wins at Nissan Stadium as Brian Callahan since they fired Mike Vrabel.
Wow. No, that's true. Only one win at Nissan Stadium.
Yep.
Wow.
And
I didn't even realize that.
Brian Callahan also still has more preseason wins than he does regular season wins. I mean,
all stats that you do not want to have.
The numbers have never looked good, but now that you're hearing little comments like that from the players, and the players didn't throw Brian Callahan under the bus yesterday. It wasn't like we need our coaches to put us in better positions, blah, blah, blah. But those are the little comments that start to happen when you lose a locker room, right? Because typically, when you haven't lost a locker room, guys will keep that in-house. Like, I'm sure there's complaints about coaching, and they keep that in-house. They keep that within themselves. When it starts to leak out into the media, and you say stuff like that about how bad the practices were and that the communication isn't great, like, that's when you start to worry about losing the locker room. I just can't see Brian Callahan being the coach here after the bye week. Like, that is the deadline I'm kind of going to put on it, because I don't know what help is it going to be to have him here for 17 games. You got 11 more games this season, and it's clearly not getting better. I understand there's not a whole lot of advantage to having an interim head coach, right? Like, it's not like things are going to change drastically, but I think getting Brian Callahan and this offensive coaching staff away from Cam Ward can only help.
It certainly couldn't make things any worse. I can't imagine things getting any worse than they already are. But we talk about the players losing or the coach losing the locker room, and I didn't think that it had happened yet. But with some of these comments that are coming out, what Jeff Simmons said yesterday, what Cam Ward said yesterday, maybe those are early signs that it's already started to happen. It's already started to fester a little bit. So
yeah,
he definitely his days are numbered.
Jeremy in Clarksville says, last week you told us a win is a win no matter the circumstances. Table starting to turn. I said that, yeah, you celebrate those wins, but like, you also, I was the big one on Monday last week saying that you got to be able to, you got to be able to look at the good and the bad, celebrate the win, but also understand that it wasn't a good way to win a football game.
If, like, I'm not mistaken, didn't we look at both sides of it?
Yeah.
We celebrated the win because we needed something to talk about.
I mean,
positive.
Right. It's been months. It was 10 months since he had a win. But we also spent an hour talking about how, you know, winning that way is not sustainable. And we saw that this week. The Titans were in a similar situation as they were last week. You know, you're down 20-3 heading to the fourth quarter. Basically the same score as it was in Arizona. And guess what? The Raiders didn't hand you three easy turnovers. It's just not good all around. There's really not a whole lot of redeeming qualities anywhere on this defense, on this team. I was going to say, except for maybe something on the defense, I thought the defensive front was pretty good yesterday. You know, Jeffrey Simmons continues to play at an elite level. He had another sack yesterday. He made some plays. He forced that interception to Cody Barton. I thought that Draymond Jones and Jihad Ward both had decent games yesterday. They got called for some stupid penalties, but they were impact players, which is something that we hadn't seen from the edge group. So, you know, this is it's a situation where you look at the rest of the year and there's just not a lot of wins left. Like, I mean, the Saints game and the Browns game are the two you can point at as, like, maybe there's a chance. But I don't see, outside of those two games, I don't see any realistic wins on this schedule. Patriots, Colts, Chargers before the bye week? Nope. I mean, Texans at home, maybe. We don't really know what the Texans are. They've beaten the Titans and the Ravens with Cooper Rush at quarterback. So, who knows? Seahawks, no. Jaguars, probably not. 49ers, Chiefs, Jaguars. Like, it's, you're looking at three wins again. Maybe. Maybe. That might be too optimistic.
It's sad when we're talking about the ceiling for this team being three wins once again.
Right. When this was heading into the year, I think the expectation was that we were going to see a lot of things get better. But outside of a couple of players here and there, there hasn't been a whole lot of improvement. And at the end of the day, that's an indictment on the head coach. and it's probably why he's not going to be the head coach here very much longer. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. Couple more Titans odds and ends we'll get to, and we'll get into the Predators as they are about 90 minutes away from getting their game going against the Ottawa Senators on Canadian Thanksgiving. We'll talk Titans, we'll talk Preds, we'll wrap up the show over the next 30 minutes here on Next Man Up, 1025 The Game. Next Man Up, 1025 The Game, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you for a couple more segments here as we lead you right into Preds pregame coverage. Predators starting a four-game Canadian road trip starting this afternoon in Ottawa, taking on the Senators. Pregame at 11, puck drop at noon. So I do want to talk some Preds, but a couple more things to get into with the Titans. The scoop and score that was taken off the board, I just always like to bring those plays up because I have learned, as most Titans fans I'm sure have, that if the Titans are involved in a question of whether the arm is going forward on a pass for a fumble or incomplete, it is always going to go against the Titans. Like, it, just expect that. I actually personally did think that one was incomplete. Like, I did think his arm was moving forward, but it didn't matter either way. It was going to go against the Titans because that's just what it does. Like, it's such a... And all of this leads back to the Josh Dobbs one from the win an in-game in 2022 because it was pretty clear Josh Dobbs' arm was moving forward, at least compared to what we've seen the last couple of years. I think Justin Herbert had one against the Titans that they called incomplete. Maybe it was Derek Carr, the Saints quarterback, in that opener. I think they had one too. So, like,
Was it Derek Carr?
I think it was in that opener.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
So there's been multiple examples of that exact play going against the Titans. And, of course, the one that cost the Titans a spot in the playoffs did not go their way. And who knows if things go the same way with Mike Vrabel if they do win that game, right? Like, maybe they still go 6-11 the next year. I don't know. But if you get into the playoffs there, maybe Mike Vrabel sticks around a little bit longer. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because it is funny. It doesn't matter. It's always close too, but it's always going to go against the Titans. That play 100% of the time. Shout out Jeffrey Simmons, still elite. A little bit concerned about the injury to Calvin Ridley. That didn't look good. Him sitting there in the hamstring wrap, and those things tend to linger. Brian Callahan said he couldn't run during the game. So you wonder if that's going to be something that takes a while. And Cam Ward without Calvin Ridley on the field, if you think Cam Ward has struggled now, having his receivers out there be a rookie Elik Iemann or Van Jefferson and Tyler Lockett is probably not going to make it much better. We'll have the... We don't have enough time today because we're shortened, but we will have the Xavier Restrepo conversation tomorrow when Nick Frazier's in here. I feel like we have to wait for Tony Tuesdays to bring that up.
Oh, he'll be all over that.
But yeah, we will bring that up with Nick Frazier tomorrow. I mentioned in the last segment too, like Draymond Jones and Jahad Ward, those guys are not supposed to be impact players, and they both had some plays yesterday. They hurt the team too. Like, Ward had two times where he lined up in the neutral zone, which just, he can't do that. It's just stupid. And then the big one for Draymond Jones was the sack on third down in the red zone of Geno Smith, where he got the face mask. I mean, that's a four-point penalty right there. The Raiders score on the next play. You had him held to three. You went too high. You grabbed the face mask, and you give up seven about 30 seconds later. So, you know, good and bad for both of those guys. It was good to see them more impactful, but they did the stupid stuff that hurts the team that ended up costing the Titans some points on a couple of drives. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's talk some Predators the rest of the show. Preds getting ready to take on the Ottawa Senators today as they are starting this four-game Canadian road trip. And overall, a good weekend for the Predators. I think you left a lot to be desired, especially on the power play. Like, it wasn't good enough for this Preds team with those opportunities. But to get out of your first two games after last year's 0-5 start, where again you're sitting after five games with 0 points, to get out of those two games at home with 3 out of the 4 possible points, I think that's a win for this Preds team. I think you're going to learn a lot about this team over the next 6 days because You're going on the road. We talked with Max Herz about it, and Max will be on the call today from Ottawa. And Max, as always, will join us on Friday from 9 to 10 to talk all things Predators. But you look at this team. Last year, they had a lot of home games early on, and it felt like they could not find a rhythm. And now you were able to get those first two the points in your first two games at home, and you get this chance to go on the road as a team up to Canada and play four pretty talented teams. I mean, you got Ottawa today, you got Toronto tomorrow, Montreal on Thursday, and then Winnipeg on Saturday to get through these four games. You don't have to go win all of them, right? Like, you don't have to go 4-0 and pick up 8 points. But, man, if you could get half the possible points in this week, like, that's huge for this team to put themselves in a good position. And, you know, it's early on in the year, but I think UC Saros has looked good. And I believe, have we seen whether he's going to be in net today?
No idea.
I don't know if they would do a morning skate with how early the game is, but we'll keep an eye on it if he's going to be in net. You would guess he's either going to be in net today or he's going to be in net tomorrow. It's a back-to-back, so you're going to get on and in for one of them. But this is a Preds team that has an opportunity to go out and get some early points on the road and get some momentum. And that's huge for this team. Again, last year, that 0-5 start killed them with all of the new pieces. And it looks like you're going to be getting some guys back from injury soon, too. I know Max Herz was high on Matthew Wood, and they just sent him down to Milwaukee for, you know, could kind of serve as a rehab stint, like a baseball rehab stint. Go down there, and you can go and get a couple of reps before you come up and play at the NHL level. And maybe that coincides with Brady Martin possibly being sent back to juniors. And Nick Haig was out on the ice, who he's been on injured reserve. It'd be great to get him back out there, likely going to be Roman Josi's partner on that top defensive line. So this is a team that's gotten off to a good start through two games. This is a chance to go prove yourself over the next week, right? Like, it's a chance to go out and prove that you are more like the team that made the playoffs 2 years ago than the team that had the third worst record in hockey last year. And it's super early, but this is a chance to go and establish yourself as a contender for the playoffs this year.
Yeah, and like the team that in the preseason last year was getting all of the hype, and you go out and you win your first game, which is a big deal. And then going to overtime with the Utah Mammoth. So explain this to me, because I was looking at this, and I'm looking at the Predators' record. It's 1-0-1. So does that count as a tie or a draw?
Overtime loss.
Overtime loss. Okay, I'm not a hockey expert.
We're going to get you up on hockey.
Full disclosure.
So hockey, they do a point system for their standings. So a win, any way you get it, regulation, overtime, shootout, counts as 2 points. A loss is zero, obviously, but an overtime loss is one. So makes sure that, you know, I really like it because it makes sure that a 3-on-3 5-minute overtime period or a shootout doesn't make a huge difference in the standings. Like, you're able to get that bonus point if you win, but it doesn't completely hurt you if you lose. So
okay, there we go.
Yeah, so they lost 3-2 in overtime to Utah on Saturday. Coming up in just about an hour, taking on the Ottawa Senators on Canadian Thanksgiving. Going to be a fun one. I will be locked in on the radio. Max Herz on the call. And we've got pregame coverage coming up for you in just about 20 minutes. We will take one final break here. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any thoughts, questions, comments, Preds, Titans, whatever, get those in. Now last call for phones. We'll get to those in the final segment and continue to preview the Predators and Senators coming up at noon today. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Monday morning. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Final segment on this Monday. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Again, we are shortened today. Preds pregame coming up right after us at 11 o'clock. Preds starting their four-game Canadian road trip, taking on the Ottawa Senators on Canadian Thanksgiving. We're talking some Preds, talking some Titans, wrapping up the show here. Did want to point out the SEC preseason polls have just been released for both men's and women's basketball. On the men's side, Tennessee picked third, behind only Florida and Kentucky. Vanderbilt 11th. And, you know, Mark Byington turned over a lot of that team, only bringing back three of the key contributors from last year with Tyler Nickel, Tyler Tanner, and Devin McLaughlin. So they're picked 11th. Tennessee picked 3rd. On the women's side, Tennessee picked 4th. Vanderbilt picked 7th. And Michaela Blake's first team All-SEC in the preseason, as is well-deserved for Michaela. We'll talk plenty of Vanderbilt women's basketball during the season because, again, I do broadcast their games. But just want to put it out there, if anybody out there hasn't come out and seen Vandy play and seen Michaela Blake's play, you're missing out. So come out. First home game, November 10th against Furman, and plenty of opportunities throughout the fall, winter, and into the spring. Let's talk some Preds here. Preds, again, starting this four-game Canadian road trip, and early returns pretty good. You know, you're able to win a grinded out game on Thursday night against Columbus 2-1, against Utah on Saturday. You lose in overtime, but you still pick up that point. And now you go on the road here. Four teams in Canada over 6 days. And Justin from Greenbrier says, I'm hoping for a sweep in Canada, but that's probably shooting too high. Yeah, I think a sweep would be a lot. But if you could get, let's say, 5 points out of the 8 possible, that puts you in a really good spot coming back home. And you don't have to leave home for a while after that. You got these 4 straight road games, but then 5 straight at home from the 21st through the 28th. You don't leave again until the day before Thanksgiving when you play the Philadelphia Flyers. So opportunities for this team early on to put themselves in a good position. And this is a big trip coming up. And I'm loving the day hockey on Canadian Thanksgiving. When I get home, just settle in and watch some hockey today. Justin also asks, how likely do you think that it is that the Preds send Brady Martin back to juniors? And before we talked to Max last week, I was thinking in my head, you know, he's been the top line center. Why would they send him back, especially if he looks like he belongs? And he did pick up his first NHL point on Saturday, an assist to Phil Forsberg. But based on the conversation with Max, it seems like they are going to send him back after the 9 games he's allowed, especially with Matthew Wood, and now Luke Evangelista is back with the team. I think that's probably their thought process is, you know, we'll move Ryan O'Reilly back to center. We can put one of those young guys on the wing opposite Forsberg, and they'll be okay. But, you know, I'm not 100% convinced that they won't keep Brady Martin, but based on what Max was saying, that seems like the plan is they're going to give him the 9 games, send him back to juniors, and then you'd hope that he is a full-time member of the team starting in 2026.
How would you assess how he's looked so far in 2 games?
I mean, nothing spectacular, right? But, like, has it been bad? No. Like, I don't think he looks lost out there, but I also don't know if it's, like, to the point where, like, you have to keep him on the roster right now. And we'll see. He's got another 7 games to force their hand, right? Like, that's Brady Martin's job right now, is to go force Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette's hands and say, like, hey, I am too good to be sent back to the Sioux. And, you know, if he does that, that would be great for the Preds. That would mean that they have an up-and-coming star that they're working with. But odds are it's just going to be fine from Brady Martin. He is still only 18 years old, and I'm excited to watch him play today. And we'll see. I haven't seen anything about what the lineup's looking like for the Preds yet, so we'll have to keep an eye on that. Again, it's a back-to-back. If I had to guess, I would guess it's going to be Onanen who gets the start in net today, especially with Saros starting the first 2, and then you'll see UC against Toronto tomorrow. But who knows? We'll find out. And again, Preds pregame right after us in about 10 minutes, so don't go anywhere. We got some day hockey for you. Quickly back to the Titans. We had some texts I wanted to get to about Brian Callahan. And Wes in Clarksville asks, who will the interim be if they let Brian Callahan go? Would they be long-term? Or will that make 3 head coaches for Cam? And we've had this conversation a couple times of, would they go outside and try and bring in a Mike McCarthy or something like that? And it just feels like there's the logistics wouldn't work with that of, hey, you have to hire him as the interim, but he's not going to come as the interim unless you promise him that he's the full-time head coach and the Rooney rule and all that stuff. So I don't think it would be an interim coach, likely Mike McCoy, who's an offensive analyst right now, or Bones Fossil. Those are the two guys with head coaching experience that aren't Bill Callahan, because obviously you're not going to have Brian's dad step in as the interim head coach. But I'd say Bones Fossil, Mike McCoy, those are the two obvious answers.
I can't think of anybody else. Like, I wouldn't feel comfortable promoting Denard Wilson because defense has a lot of holes.
And it's like you're making his job harder.
Way harder than it has to be because he's never done it before. At least Mike McCoy has.
Right.
And Bones Fossil has.
And Mike McCoy doesn't have any pressing game day responsibilities that this would pull him away from. Bones Fossil has done it before as the interim head coach. I'm sure that he could be the interim and be the special teams coach at the same time. So those are the options you'd be looking at. WB in Thompson Station says, if you're focusing on the coaching staff without talking about Amy's awful leadership, you're missing the big picture. I think everybody realizes that this all starts with the owner, right? But guess what? That's not something you can change. I mean, I don't want to talk about Amy because it's like there's nothing that's going to change there. She has to do a better job of hiring the right people and putting them in positions to succeed. And because it's not like you can fire the owner. They're not selling the team. So, we can talk about it all you want, but nothing's going to change with Amy. The only thing you could see is if she wanted to give Kenneth to be the controlling owner, but I don't see that happening.
Which I would be in favor for. I wouldn't be opposed.
I mean, I don't really know enough about it, but obviously the last 4 years have not been good, and a lot of that starts with the ownership and the decisions that they've made with the general manager and the head coach. And, you know, you got to be better in that spot because I don't see anything changing with the ownership. So she's got to find a way to find the right people and see if they can turn this thing around. Right now, it doesn't look good. It did not look good yesterday, 20-10. Pretty much everybody can be blamed, and you wonder when a move might be made, especially with Mike Vrabel coming to town this weekend. We'll have plenty more previewing Mike Vrabel's return to Nashville throughout the week here on Next Man Up. Also, we barely touched on college football. Tennessee escaping what was an interesting game, to say the least, with Arkansas, but getting a win. And they look ahead to Alabama this weekend. Vanderbilt welcoming in LSU this weekend. So plenty to get to on that. I know Nick Frazier's back there right now. So, Nick, I said it earlier, I might be ready to catch the strep.
And, he's ready for Tony Tuesdays. And we will, he's fired up.
We will talk some Xavier Restrepo tomorrow because what we've seen from Tyler Lockett has just been borderline unplayable.
Who
so
started
far.
Catch the Strap?
That might have been. Was that Nick Frazier?
Oh, that was Frazier? Yeah.
Was it? Wow. Okay. Got to give credit to Dr. Crane where it's due. So,
hey, I'll catch the strep.
Lots coming up on the program this week. And, of course, more Preds talk as the Preds start their four-game Canadian road trip in just about an hour. They've got Ottawa today. They've got Toronto tomorrow. Then Montreal on Thursday. Winnipeg on Saturday. Big chance early on in the season to start collecting some points. Preds pregame is coming up next. Should be a fun one. Preds 1-0-1 on the season. It's Canadian Thanksgiving Day hockey. Don't go anywhere, as we've got plenty of great action coming up for you. Pre-game from 11 to noon, then Max Herz, along with Hal Gill, will call the game starting at noon. That does it for us. Preds pregame coming up next. Keep it right here on 102.5 The Game.